This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10. That's AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 204 for Friday, September 26th, 2014. You like how I did that little camera thing there? I'm always looking at the wrong monitor. The camera's over here. So anyway, what's up? I'm Phil Nickinson. We are Android Central. We do this little podcast once a week live and recorded and on video. And eventually one of us should have a studio audience. That could be kind of fun. I vote Alex.
We could try and see how it works.
You invite all of England into your home. Hey, how's it going over there, by the way? Because you had that Scottish vote last week. And
Yeah, we still have Scotland.
Congrats.
Nobody has yelled at me yet that the camera's still stuck on Russell, by the way.
Nobody will do that.
So, Russell, how do you feel about Scotland?
Why would you ask me
a question like that, Andrew?
The equivalent of me like swinging the light in the interrogation over onto Russell, like, where were you on the night of the 23rd? And no, it happened because Russell's camera disappeared earlier, and I clicked on him, and then I forgot to click off him. And you would think Google would be smart enough to... No, actually, you would think Russell would be smart enough to start mouthing all the words like he was me.
Oh, next time.
That's totally what you should have done. Oh, so what's going on? Andrew Martinick, Russell Hawley, we're all back. So it's been like kind of a, somebody finally says video is stuck on Russell. Thank you. It's not an official podcast until I stick the camera on somebody accidentally.
And wait for the Q&A to catch up.
Yeah.
I've been playing the Android Central drinking game at home.
We should totally do that. We'll come up with something. I don't know, where do you guys want to start? We've all been like very heads down this week writing reviews, and especially Alex, who's only done like 3 this week, I think.
Only. Feels like it.
You want to start with the newsy news that everyone's all excited about?
Rumory news?
Rumory news, yes. Go ahead, I'll let you lead that one.
So I was kind of out when this was happening, most of it anyway, yesterday. We've had rumors for a while about this upcoming Motorola Nexus, which is supposedly going to be a much, much larger device than we're used to seeing from the Nexus line. Made by Motorola, probably a 5.9 something inch screen, and yeah, it looks like a big giant Moto X. And of course, the pictures that came out, we don't only see the back of it next to the G3. It does make the G3 look very, very small. But like any Nexus, the interesting stuff is going to be what's on the screen, what's lurking on the software side.
No, hang on, I want to yell about this size for a minute, because everybody, you know, all the comments are either like, no. I'm so going to get yelled at for that, by the way. Or like, hell yes, I want a bigger phone.
Brilliant lung capacity there, Phil.
Oh, that's only like halfway. Want me to do it again?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
That wasn't even like prepared, taking a deep breath.
We'd fill the entire podcast just with like 10 no's from Phil.
But you're right there. There is no...
And have the camera stuck on Russell.
That's right.
I mean, I think the reason I'm kind of not too worried about it is because, look, we have a lot of really great Android phones right now. You know, the Nexus is always a big deal, but I kind of resign myself to the fact that I probably wouldn't be using this one a whole lot anyway because of the size. So I don't know. Maybe I've already come to terms with that. I agree. It would be nice to have something that is Nexus level. That, you know, for all the fuss about L. You know, for there to be not just one option that is massive that is going to be too big for most people, if, you know, a full half inch bigger than the iPhone 6 Plus.
Russell?
It's weird that there's no middle ground at all. Like, we're not, like, what you said earlier is that we're seeing people who are just, like, just vehemently opposed to this, or people who are already ready to pull their money out regardless of price tag. There's so little in between with this. And I think that that's fascinating because, like, the G3 was a little too big for me to be comfortable using all day, every day. And this phone is noticeably larger. I mean, it's a little tiny bit taller, but it's also wider. And that's, you know, even with, you know, Motorola's backing from the Moto X, that's still a really unwieldy device.
And you're saying there's no middle ground, and, you know, strictly speaking from a Nexus point of view, that's true. The middle ground is, I guess, last year's Nexus 5, but I think Motorola would say the middle ground is the Moto X, right? Positioning it as
like the
average consumer.
That have, like, the opinions that we've heard so far, there hasn't, I have seen very little, well, I'll try it and see, which we kind of get from a lot of other phones. From this, the general response to this leak has either been like an absolute yes or an absolute no. It's been kind of interesting.
Here's my question, we're in a weird world because it's a Motorola phone. You know, the Moto X is obviously a Motorola phone. It's going to get Android L very quickly, right? I mean, it's supposed to.
Well, it's going
to
get Android L. It's going to get Android L very quickly in the U.S. Motorola's track record outside the U.S. is still pretty shaky.
I mean,
better than they were, problem. But
anyway, all things being equal, if all of the world got the Motorola updates at the same time. But, I mean, outside of the software, like, and this goes back to, I think we talk about it all the time. What the hell does Nexus mean anymore? I don't know. And so if size is the only differentiator there, the only real differentiator, do you see some sort of, like, crazy camera technology coming to a Nexus phone that the Moto X can't already do? I mean, it just...
You would have thought that if Motorola had come up with something crazy, it would be in the Moto X already, and it wouldn't just be a chintzy ring flash.
Yeah, I mean, we could be looking at something new with APIs or whatever. I'm not sure how that progressed. There was talk of new camera APIs in Android. You know, there's been talk for a while, actually. But I think the bigger question, really, is what does that size enable, right? Nexus phones are always about getting new hardware out there for a purpose, not generally just for the sake of having a new device. So what is it about L, the main sort of reference phone, if you want to use that term for it, is a 6-inch device? There's nothing we've seen in the preview.
Jumps out at me at this point. Why hopefully there's something around the front that's going to matter, and it's not just a QHD screen. That's been done already.
Well, if it's a QHD screen and Motorola sensors... the sensors that are in the Moto X that are doing something different. I mean, assuming that this really is just a stretched out Moto X and that those sensors are still there, then that would mean that there's some core Android L functionality that's going to apply there. And we've seen, software updates that have been pushed into the developer channel that lean in that direction as well. And as far as the camera stuff goes, you know, one of the things they announced at I/O was a push towards things like Camera Raw, for software cameras and a bunch of features toward higher end camera features. So, I mean, it's definitely possible that we're going to see more of that kind of stuff. And, you know, like you said, with the Moto X getting software updates, I think the jump to 4.4.2 for the Moto X was something like 80 days. So it's not like it would be a huge wait anyway.
I'm feeling like I'm getting deja vu all over again, because I had myself resigned to the fact that the new Moto X was going to be big. I didn't want a big new Moto X. And now, I mean, all signs are pointing to this ginormous Nexus phone. I don't want a ginormous Nexus phone. I don't want any phone that big, Nexus or otherwise. Am I going to get it and be like I am with the new Moto X and be like, you know what, this is actually pretty good, all right, I'm fine?
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think, it crosses the line when you get to the...
Yeah, I mean, did you feel that way about the G3?
The G3, I live with the size, with the fact that it feels smaller than it is. It just really does. That camera is really good. And I think that's all that did it for me for that.
Well, I mean, this is noticeably larger than that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the screen does... Never mind. I'm not going to say anything about the screen. But the camera on this thing is probably going to be pretty close to what we see with the Moto X camera. So,
yeah, I mean, if like we were saying, if they're holding out on camera technology, well, they wouldn't be holding out because they would put it in their phone, not Google's phone.
Yeah, this is the good news is this is all very unofficial and unannounced. We've heard from a couple people actually that there are a few hardware versions floating around. So what we saw in those pictures this week might not even be what would eventually come to that. So I don't know. Strange things have happened before. I hate to, and I really hate to look at this thing and be like, you know what, it's just too big. I don't care. Because A, that's not my job. And I'm gonna play with it one way or the other. But I did the same thing with the Moto X, and it's not a good way to go into a phone, but I just can't help but feel that there's this very Me Too thing going on right now. Like, everyone saw, all right, Apple's finally going to do this gigantic phone. We got to do one that's about the same size, too, just to have something in that space. I mean, and it feels really weird in the Nexus sense, because here's this space that was supposed to be about doing things different, and it just feels very, very much like they're following in their footsteps there.
I don't know. The phones take longer than that to plan out, right? I mean, you can say what you want about having stuff in development and not necessarily releasing it, but I think I got a feeling that we would have had a 6-inch Nexus this year regardless of what Apple was doing.
I feel like I would have been less surprised if this was something that Motorola had initially planned for, say, Verizon's Droid line, as kind of like an extra roll away from the core Moto X stuff, because that's kind of what we saw last year.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because we saw the Droid Turbo, which mysteriously appeared in our forums months ago. I don't know how that happened. What are the leak specs on that? I ignore leak specs, so I don't even remember what they are.
Anyone? You lost me there.
No. Is it 5.2? Does that sound right? Somebody in the Q&A can tell me. I missed the chat room. That's what the chat room was good for. It was quicker.
You'll have to forgive me for not being excited for Verizon-exclusive phones, and I'm not a Verizon.
Yeah, at least I have an excuse for being completely ignorant about this.
All right, fine. I'll look it up.
I'm loading a web page.
You and your...
4.6-inch quad HD display, which is kind of crazy.
Wow. That's really dense.
3 gigs of RAM, Snapdragon 805, 32 gigs of storage, and a carbon fiber-y thing on the back, like other droids.
Okay, well, that takes care of that discussion.
The back of it kind of looks like a Droid Max, the last generation Droid Max, but with the new dimple or the crater or whatever you want to call it on the back.
Yeah, and the curves at the bottom are more akin to this year's hardware as well.
Interesting times. I mean, I don't know. I still think there's a lot about L we just don't necessarily know and can properly appreciate in context yet, and I'm hoping that's going to change a lot of the discussion here when it's finally announced and released. And
another Google's got a few
thing about this is the lack of 64-bit support in the processor. That gets talked about kind of in the background a lot about this as well.
But what would you put in there? What is a 64-bit SoC that you can run a Quad HD screen on? That doesn't really exist yet.
I didn't say that that was inaccurate. I just...
Okay.
So, I mean...
Are we forgetting about the other Nexus device? Because that could maybe...
It could be you waiting for a tablet instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that before. I don't know. I mean, I'm still kind of the camp that's like, all right, 64-bit, cool, what's next? Like, is it going to run 3,000? You know, what can I do faster? What can I do more? It's just going to run better, I think. And, you know, we can rehash that every week, but I don't know.
No, I don't know that it's going to be a big performance thing initially, but it's one of those, as far as app developers go, it's, you know, insulating for the future.
Right. And that's the big deal. Not necessarily what's in my hands, but what the devs are going to be able to do with it and what it means for memory allocation, which is one of those things that's not unimportant. It's just not something I worry about as I'm using the phone. Right. Somebody asked in the Moto X review, like, how come you don't write what it's like to use with a bunch of apps open at one time and blah, blah, blah. Well, because I don't look at how many apps I have open. I use the phone, and that's how I write about it. So I don't know. I mean, when it comes to a 64-bit phone, that's, you know, I'm using a computer right now that's 64-bit. I have no idea. You know, not all the apps are 64-bit. I have no idea what's what. And it's, I just use it. They're all stunned into silence.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a performance thing. You know, when you're talking about laptops and desktops, there are, you know, definite performance gains in one direction or the other. We're not going to see those in smartphones for quite a while, if at all. You know, what we're seeing with 64-bit processors is more not even so much multitasking, but you know, how each of those threads gets handled from a power management standpoint. And that's going to be most of what we see from, you know, smartphones that have 64-bit and tablets that have 64-bit processors. It's not anybody who thinks that we're going to get, like, noticeable performance gains is being misled.
All right, so bigger Nexus. Tablet still out there. I'm still waiting to...
It's coming.
Yeah.
Waiting to be a tablet.
Let's actually talk about other stuff that's unannounced, as long as we're talking about unannounced stuff. HTC announced a new event. Did they do that in the past week since we podcasted, or I don't remember? Or was it last week?
The event was there, but now we have the video.
All right, now we have this teaser video where it very much looks like some sort of GoPro-y camera. Is that a fool's game to get into when you have GoPro out there that's worth billions of dollars and just is so entrenched in that space, or do you think there's more going on?
It depends what they have planned for it. I mean, HTC is kind of has differing strategies when it comes to imaging on its phones, and you look at what they've had the past couple of years, it's been good at certain stuff, not so good at other stuff. It's going to depend what the differentiator is. Like, the thing right now is basically looks like a periscope kind of thing on the back of it, so you can do selfies and stuff. You've got to imagine that with the whole Zoe thing that launched over the summer, those two teams are probably going to be talking to each other. And if they can somehow tie those two things together to increase value for both of them and HTC as a result, then that, you know, may be worth looking at. I don't know. But, I mean, HTC's been talking for a while about branching out into other areas. There was talk of wearables and stuff, which we haven't seen yet. But look, I mean, it makes sense to diversify, doesn't it? I mean, smartphones are hard. The competition is going to be tricky, but I think if they have something unique and if it ties into what they already have on the software side and their strengths in those areas, then they could have something special.
I think it makes sense to diversify only if they really think that they have a shot at competing with somebody like GoPro or other camera manufacturers. I mean, it makes sense for somebody like Sony to diversify with cameras because they have a long, long history of making great cameras. You know, nobody thinks HTC and then thinks, you know, standalone cameras. You know, they think about phones with interesting cameras, but I'm questioning how much of their brand value can be brought over to sell cameras on top of phones.
Well, if you look at what they did with Zoe, it was very much a separate thing, wasn't it? I don't think the only mention of HTC anywhere on the Zoe site is in the legal speak down at the bottom. So it'd be interesting to see whether they actually tie the HTC brand into it in a big way or in a more subtle way. Because if they're going kind of in the almost route that they went with Zoe, then maybe they're just looking at building ReCamera or whatever it is as its own thing.
I think it's also worth pointing out that GoPros are, you know, very mechanical, very professional devices, and what we're seeing here is a whole lot of style from the kind of periscopy camera that we saw. And that introduces a different market, a different group of people who are going to want to pull this camera out and use it. And it's not impossible for HTC to decide that there's going to be a bunch of smartphone-based software features that go with this that GoPro isn't interested in offering. You know, GoPro software is, you know, they have the viewfinder app that has some pretty limited functionality on a smartphone, and everything else is done on a laptop or desktop because it requires some pretty serious processing to do so, whereas HTC's got the smartphone camera processing thing down. So, you know, maybe not cameras themselves, but software is definitely something that HTC can lead with here.
What about, we've seen leaks, not leaks, but anonymous postings today from Lab 2 for a long time, you know, HTC kind of insider, And I think UbLeaks had another one about a supposed M8, another version of the M8 with a 13 megapixel camera, just basically another M8 without ultra pixels, right? Could you see something like that tied in? And Alex, you've been using, you got to see the in review the Butterfly 2, and you've seen some of HTC's other new things since the M8. Do you think those two things could go together somehow? Or because, I mean, and the name of this event is double exposure. So
yeah, I think potentially, yeah. There are sort of mixed messages going out there about this M8i is the code name. The two sort of sources for this right now seem to be sort of pointing to it being an India-China type device, a variant of the M8 for those markets. So, you know, potentially not something that will get a broader global release. But if that's not the case, then I don't know. I don't really see what the value would be in an M8, you know, for HTC in rehashing the M8, putting the Butterfly 2's camera in there and releasing it as a separate product. Surely none of the US carriers would be on board with that.
What about for me? What do I get out of that?
You get a camera that is a little bit better at some stuff, but overall only really a slight improvement. I mean, it's a decent camera, but it's not really much more than decent. Better than the older 13 megapixel sensor that we're using in some of the older devices. It is a new sensor they're using in the Butterfly. But just you're kind of trading daylight performance for, you know, trading an improvement in daylight performance for lower low light capability. So I don't know whether I think if they maybe stick OIS in there or mix it up a little bit so you have something that's comparable, maybe with the G3 that could have real value because that would basically be a no compromise camera, which is what we haven't really had from HTC for the past couple of years. So I don't know. Is the short version?
Was it the day after the HTC event? Sony has scheduled an event in New York City, so I will stick around and go to that. Any thoughts on what that's going to be? Just Z3 for the US or yes. Something different? Yeah.
Yeah, and it could potentially be a big deal for them because in the past the US has been kind of an afterthought for Sony Mobile in general. I mean, they've released stuff unlocked. It's taken them generally a few months to do that. You know, now and again, you get a device on Tmall or whatever, but for the most part, they don't have anywhere near the presence that Samsung or even HTC or LG have. So for them to say, right, this is our big launch event for the US, presumably they're going to have carrier partners on board, probably not just one like they used to. You know, it's a big untapped market for them. It should be interesting. The phones are good.
And not to mention that not only did one carrier at a time get it, they got it like 6 months later and it was slightly different and just
not
lost
a good way
at all.
Mm.
I know T-Mobile's been playing around with this phone for a little while now. I actually got to mess with one that is intentionally a US version a couple of weeks ago and it's a really nice phone.
Which one did you get to play with?
The T-Mobile variant of the Z3.
Ah.
So, I mean, it's definitely headed here to the U.S., and the anticipation is that it is headed here soon, because I know T-Mobile reps have been playing with them for quite a while now.
Cool.
Only a matter of time, I guess.
Jerry's going to be happy.
Yeah. Good, we know who's reviewing it. I want to play with one, actually, because... It's God, when was the last Sony phone I used? I've got that bad one they gave us at Mobile World Congress when they were trying to push NFC really, really hard. And it was so not good, like it wasn't even worth giving to anybody. Yeah.
I turned on the Xperia ZL the other day to take a picture and promptly turned it back off and put it back in this box. Plastic screen protector and all.
I remember my first Xperia phone when I saw it, in my first year in Barcelona, actually. Back, it was Windows mobile phone. It's pretty awesome, actually. That was a good phone. Expensive.
Like, at least new ones are good phones. I mean, you have the Galaxy Alpha, which we'll get to in a little bit, launching in the US today, actually. But this, I think, is a much, you know, the Z3 Compact is a much better sort of no-compromise small device. You know, 4.6 inches with basically the same internals as the big one.
Let's do this before we move on to the Alpha and I don't know, anything else we want to. Let's just go through some of the Q&A on all this Nexus stuff, especially, and see what's up. Adal asks, do you think the leaked Nexus will have Qi charging, considering that Qi charging was missed in the Moto X? That's a good question.
That's a good question.
They've had it in the last three Nexus devices. You would hope they'd keep that going.
Yeah, I don't think we've heard anything about that in the tablet, have we?
No, not.
It's a little more awkward on a tablet.
We've heard about other accessories for a tablet.
I tell you, I'm using that, what is it, the Tilt one that's like a big, like you lean it up against it. That's what I'm using for my Nexus 7 at home, and I love it. Yeah. Such a nice little charger for that.
I use the Nokia one with my Nexus 7, but it's still a little teetery because, you know, you're just putting a huge slate on top of this little contact point.
Our pal Sachin, I'm going to screw your name up again because it's been a while since I said it. Do you think the leak of the Shamu is just some variant of the Moto X and not the Nexus 6?
It's both.
There you go. Andrew, how's your wrist doing after that soccer incident? Asked Kevin.
It's not broken, thankfully. I got taken out by a goalkeeper and did one of those front flips, land on your wrist kind of thing. So it's not broken, still hurts really bad. And that's why I've got a big bottle of pills right here next to my monitor. But it's good. Thank you for asking.
And I'm going on Kevin's podcast early Monday morning. Not that early. I'll be awake. I'll be in the office. Let's see. Idol says, Nexus 6 leaked photo looks like a giant Moto X. Yes, it does. Let's see. Brandon says, you can beat GoPro's marketing budget and all the money they have to reinvest. HTC won't have the Action Sports sponsorship that GoPro has either. Yeah, that's true.
I think it's necessary for them to go for Action Sports. I mean, there are so many other places. I think that's the point, is that, you know, from everything that we saw from that video, it's not an Action Sports camera. It's a camera that everyone else is going to want to use. That is pretty clearly where they're going with that.
Anthony says, wouldn't it be great if Google announced the L version is Logger for an Oktoberfest release? Yes. That would be awesome.
Like to celebrate that one.
And not very kid-friendly.
Beer's a dessert.
That's true. let's see. Chris says, why is Alex on tonight's podcast and not at the XDA DevCon event in Manchester? Also a good question. Because I pay Alex to be here. It's my answer anyway. Alex almost looks like he has another answer.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You're not even listening. Oh, all right. Here's a good one. And I don't know the answer to this. How do you guys feel about some reviews declaring the 2014 Moto X as the best Android smartphone ever made?
I think that's searching for a narrative.
Why?
It just seems like, I mean, when a new phone comes out, if it wasn't better than the last generation in many ways, then that's really, really weird. Every single phone that comes out is all of a sudden the best phone ever, and then the next one's the best phone ever, and the next one's the best phone ever.
Alex is about to pounce.
I was just going to say, if you guys get new Sony phones every 6 months, you'll get very used to the last phone being a hell of a lot like the new phone being a hell of a lot like the last phone. But sure. I think, is it the best Android phone? Can you say that about it when, from what we've seen and from what Phil's written in his review, the camera is pretty good but not great. The battery life is just about acceptable. I think if you say it's the best Android phone, it maybe says more about what you value in a phone than the phone itself.
Russell?
I mean, we saw this last year. It's tech bloggers being all in love, myself included, with the closest thing to stock Android software that we can get. You know, it's not a Nexus phone, but it still feels pretty close to one. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, using HTC's software, using Samsung software, it's okay. But I think a lot of these guys are still drifting back to either a Nexus phone or a Moto X or some variant in that direction when those reviews end. And with this, it doesn't feel like they have to.
I think I said on the review that I could make the argument. In fact, I was kind of calling out all those people who were saying that a little bit. And I can make the argument that this could be the best Android smartphone right now. But I also still think I could make the argument that the M8 is still right up there, or that the G3 is there, or that the GS5 is still there. I mean, we had a really hard time making a call when we declared a best one, you know, 3-4 months ago, whenever that was. That was not an easy decision. And some of that was just the exercise of seeing if we could do it. I think we could have copped out and said, you know, we're not going to declare a best phone. Just here are the best ones you can buy. And we might do that next time. I have absolutely no qualms about doing that because of how good everything is right now. I think any one of us can make an argument over why one phone is a little better than the other. But everything, when I went into that Moto X review, I was down on the size. I was not crazy about a larger Moto X. I liked the smaller one. But ignore that. Take that away. And how is this phone any worse than the M8, right? You've got the M8 with this finicky camera. I would say the M8 camera is probably a little better. There's a lot more going on with the M8 software. You know, either you need it or you don't. The screens are both pretty good. Boom sound, I think, is a big differentiator. Those front-facing speakers that HTC does, just better than anything else. But Motorola's single front-facing speaker is actually really good. And it's probably better than anything else out there. Yes, Russell?
Plus, it's got a vibration motor that, you know, I think could probably break the bones in your hand if you squeezed it hard enough.
There's a lot that's really good about the new MX. There's a lot that's really good about the G3. There's a lot that's still really, really good about the GS5. So
it turns out that there are a lot of awesome smartphones right now.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have. It's a really good problem to have. I think it's real easy to be tempted for every new big thing that comes out to declare it the best, because, I mean, let's face it, we know who are reading these reviews. And when you very suddenly see all these display ads, you know, saying, "This is the best phone ever," says so-and-so, you get tempted to say that next time. I get that. That's a very honest human response, but it's also really easy. I think we can make that argument about any of these phones right now. And I don't envy somebody who has to like decide where they're going to spend their, you know, $300, $400, $500, $600 right now. That is not an easy decision to make at this point. I think I said it last week, actually. You know, at this point, I'm almost willing to say it's fine to be completely superficial. Just pick the one you think, you know, for whatever reason you like better. You're going to come out okay, probably.
Yep. I got my wife an HTC One M8 on Verizon because it was red. That was quite literally the only reason. We walked into the store, my wife messed with every single phone that was in the store, looked at that one and said, "Cool, that one comes in a Deadpool edition." And that's the one we got.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to give somebody a list of like these five or six phones, and I think Sony's probably worthy of having something in there, right, Alex? Even though I haven't. Sorry, I'm putting my shoes on.
I think so. I haven't played too much of the big Z3 yet, but yeah, I mean, both of the new phones that they have coming out are really good.
So that's my really long answer to that. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back in a minute, I'll find something else to go off on. Managing your company's IT support needs can be challenging, especially when you have remote or mobile employees, or in my case, when you've got Jerry on one coast and Andrew on another. You've got to handle urgent tech support requests if you want to maintain productivity, and above all, you have to make sure your network security is never compromised. And that's why we're talking about Citrix GoToAssist, the number one global market leader in remote support. With GoToAssist remote support, you can provide live and unattended remote support to any computer or mobile device. You can screen share with your employees to diagnose and fix support problems faster and more efficiently. And you can use the GoToAssist apps to deliver support anytime, anywhere, from your Android phone or tablet, or from an iPhone or iPad. If you work in IT, you've got to try GoToAssist. And you can get a free 30-day trial now with no contract and no credit card needed. Just visit GoToAssist.com and hit the Try It Free button. And if you purchase GoToAssist before October 31st, be sure to use the promo code GoToAssist3030 to get 30% off the standard monthly rate. All right, that's good. All right, we're back. What are we going to talk about now?
So Galaxy Alpha, we also reviewed that this week.
Yes.
Kind of a big deal, the first significant metal smartphone from Samsung. Metal band on the outside, chamfers, all that good stuff. Big deal as well because it's flagship level specs in that thing. It isn't just a Galaxy S5 Mini where you kind of take a hit in the camera, in the performance, and whatever else. And it's a really nice phone. A couple of issues with it. It's not perfect. The camera is basically GS5 level at a slightly lower megapixel count, so low light isn't too hot. But battery life issues a little bit as well. You'll just about get to the end of the day, not a whole lot more, probably because it is very thin as well. But it's a nice 4.7-inch phone from Samsung. It's what people have been asking for a long time. It's the high-end specs in a smaller form factor, and launching today on AT&T.
Is it the iPhone 5?
No, I mean it looks a little bit like it in that it is a metal smartphone. You can kind of see the resemblance from certain angles, and I think some of the promotional shots that Samsung had when they announced this probably didn't help, because they were very sort of iPhone-esque poses that they had this thing in. You certainly wouldn't confuse the two, just the size alone. And I don't think Apple has a monopoly on chamfers anymore.
Here's the big question. Does it bend?
The back bends.
Damn it.
If you give it to Russell, will it come back like a crumpled piece of paper? Poor Russell. Russell's had a long week.
It has been a long week. Smartphones are hard.
If you don't know the context there, everyone's freaking out because all right, let's... I want like 2 minutes of this for Russell, and then we'll get back to your damn Galaxy Alpha.
Fine.
So Russell uses more smartphones than we do. It's a little insane. So you kind of became a little famous this week for having one of the bendy iPhones. Did you sit on it? How did that happen?
It was just in my front pocket, man. I don't ever... So I'm a big guy. I'm not stupid. You don't put phones in your back pocket. That's just a terrible idea. And I, like, my sister is this 115-pound nothing, and when she puts her phone in her back pocket, it drives me crazy.
Why do girls do that?
I think it's because their front pockets are not big enough to hold the phones anymore.
I get that, and as a straight guy, I love watching it, but it drives me nuts too. I'm like, no, don't do that. Anyway, continue.
I had a whole bunch of books to ship this week, and so I was back and forth between the post office for like 3 hours one day, and my phone sat in my pocket the entire time. And I got home, pulled it out, and I read the forum posts about the phones that have been bent a little bit, and I pulled mine out and set it on the desk just for, you know, paranoia's sake, and it wobbled a little bit back and forth. It wasn't bent in the same way that some of these other ones were, and it wasn't bent like that jerk face from Unbox Therapy. It was the you know, top right and bottom left corner was just slightly raised, and it caused it to wobble back and forth on its face. And I took the phone back because I am not for that phone to have taken that damage within 4 days means that I am not going to survive very long with that phone. I was just, you know, and I've dropped so many other phones. It just the thought came to me that as soon as I dropped that phone, it was just going to be all over.
And you were on the BBC for it. I believe God called down and said, dude, what'd you do to your phone?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, definitely a weird week full of people. USA Today wanted to come out and take like 30 shots of the phone, and I said that I had already returned it, and the woman became visibly unhappy with me. She's like, oh, you returned it already? And that was an interesting distinction. Apple said that only 9 people complained about the phone in stores. What's fascinating about that is that I am not one of those 9 because my phone was bought and returned through Verizon.
I also think it was interesting that they immediately opened their doors to show everybody, here's how we test phones, just like everybody else tests phones. And because we've now shown you this, there's no way.
Just happened to show you.
Yeah, there's no way that these other phones could have been. I mean, I don't know. I still say, you know, look at the simple math, and when you sell 10 million phones in like 2.5 days or whatever it was, the numbers are not huge. So.
And no. I mean, was anybody really going to think that Apple didn't test its phones to see how rigid they were? You know how many devices they made with aluminum, including gigantic computers and MacBooks, and, you know, they've done all different kinds of things with stainless steel and magnesium. It's just like, of course they tested this, and they know that some percentage of them are going to be weaker than others, and some percentage of them, if they're subjected to the right amount of pressure, are going to bend.
Anyway, back to the Galaxy Alpha for Alex, who's been very patient during that.
I think it's a very promising phone. I don't know whether I think the battery life is probably the deal breaker for me. Like me personally, I can't really see myself using a phone that just barely gets the end of the day most of the time, because those, you know, handful of times that you do need more, then suddenly the product's dead. So, I don't know. I mean, do you guys have any questions? We could open it up to Q&A.
Do I need to go buy one? Should I do it? Maybe we'll give it away.
Yeah, why not?
I'll take a look at that this weekend.
I think it's definitely worth having a look at just to see how much the build has changed and how different the in-hand feel is to anything else we've had from Samsung in the past. It really does make a huge difference where the contact points for your hands are all on metal now and not just the soft touch plastic or shiny plastic or whatever.
Well, and that description sounds an awful lot like the Note 4, which makes a lot of sense. And that was one of the things that I felt really, really good about with the Note 4 was that it just felt so solid.
I'm just extra intrigued by that feeling, but in a smaller size that you can wrap your hand around.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing about the Alpha is that it does feel very, very solid. You still have the plastic battery door, which you can flex around, but it seems to snap on much more firmly. And when everything is clipped together and sealed up, it's a very solid feeling phone. It doesn't feel like this, you know, plasticky piece of crap that's just going to fall apart.
I never had a problem with the plastic or the faux leather on the back. It was always the chintzy plastic around the edges. It was all shiny and flaked off eventually and got dinged up. That was the problem, not the back.
Yeah. And we'd have to see how, I guess over time, we'll see with these new metal Samsung designs how the metal ages, because we just don't know that yet. But
look at the back of my M8 and it's...
Oh, man.
It's kind of a mess.
It's a battlefield.
Well, I mean, just mine or yours too?
Yeah, mine isn't great either.
Yeah. It's not good.
It definitely hasn't held up as well visually as my M7.
Yeah, it's different finish.
Yeah, and it's just this one, this new finish, it just takes scratches a lot more. It just looks way more damaged. I can't imagine. I think Andrew's the first person that I've ever met that uttered the words, "I didn't mind the fake leather on the back of the Note 3," because that bothered me to no end.
The stitching was my problem. The actual pattern of it,
That didn't bother me. The stitching was awful, though.
The stitching is bad, and the plastic around it, the shiny plastic around it, is bad too. But no, I mean, the pattern, it helps you hold the phone. It's fine. Pick your battles.
I'm flipping through the Q&A trying to find anything on the Alpha. Not seeing anything. Yeah, I'll maybe grab one and see. I do want to mention the Moto G real quick, because I thought Andrew wrote a really good piece yesterday. I bought one just because they're cheap and we need to have one laying around. Where is it? That's not it. I don't know where it is. It's here somewhere. Oh, it's over there on the other desk. What is it? $180?
Mm-hmm.
This is a big, good phone for $180. I get that it doesn't have LTE. That's a big deal. If you're absolutely going to be out and about a lot and you're going to need LTE, you might need to look elsewhere. On the other hand, HSPA Plus can be really fast in places. For $180.
My whole point about not having LTE was that the phones in this price range that do have LTE are ones you don't want to use anyways.
Right. Mm. So it could have the fastest network around and it ain't going to matter because the phone's crap. Right. So, yeah, this is probably the phone I would recommend to somebody who doesn't necessarily have to have the biggest and best thing. For $180 off contract, and how long have we been saying, whatever you do, do not pay contract. Do not pay on contract. And this is the phone to do it with, I think.
And I think the whole thing that I've started to realize is with so many more people getting into this whole financing their phone, buying off contract thing, they're starting to understand how expensive these phones are. And now they're kind of starting to slide down the scale to where they don't want the $650, $700 phone anymore. They want like the $300 to $400 phone. And my whole point of the thing I wrote yesterday was it's the Moto G performs as well at $180 as these other phones in the high $300 range do. And you know, like I said, and it's half the price. So it's kind of hard not to to put it on the list when you're looking.
Just get one. Everyone should buy one.
Or two, three, four.
You don't get all of the, you know, cool Moto features, but you get a lot of them. I don't use the voice stuff that much as I thought I would. And you realize we've gone this entire podcast without somebody randomly saying out, okay, Google now.
By the way, since you guys are talking about the Moto G, it is a terrible conversation starter when someone posts a phone that is $800 from Samsung for you to respond by asking if it is as good as six Moto Gs. Because you cannot take six Moto Gs and strap them together and make a super smartphone.
That's not how it works.
No.
So I can understand, I can appreciate the attempt to have that financial conversation. That is not the way to do it.
You know, you say you can't do that. I'm willing to bet that's going to be the end point for Project Ara. Like, that's where it's all going to come to.
That's what you need to do, Vili. You need to buy three of them and see if you can tape them together and see how far that gets you.
Let me just see how... I'm going to run out of hands here.
When you tape three of them together, it should be a Nexus 5, right?
How fast is this one phone I'm holding up to my ear now? Hang on. We're still going. This is just on this desk. What am I up to? Is somebody counting? Can anybody see that?
Eight.
Eight. Nine. I have small hands. I can't go much farther. Crap, I totally just forgot which phone I'm actually using.
And when the Nexus X comes out, you'll be able to put it underneath of all of them as like a holding tray.
The real question here is, why in the name of Zeus's butthole is there a Thunderbolt on my actual working desk?
Because never
not propping up the desk.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that, guys.
It needs to stay there.
You need to kickstand. It's a kickstand.
Put a post-it note on it that says never forget.
Oh, man. What else? Actually, some other interesting things this week. Moto 360 got a lot of hate last week for all the watch talk. Not a watch podcast. Well, it's gonna be sometimes. It's called Android Wear, and it's a big deal because Android Wear, I don't think, is always going to be watches, boys and girls. Moto 360 got an update that's supposed to help connections, supposed to seriously help battery life. I just got it yesterday, Wednesday. And I was messing around with stuff, so I didn't get like a good normal day's use out of 360. But I left the house at 7:30 this morning, popped it off the charger. I am currently at 68%. So that's pretty good, actually. So it would not surprise me to see battery life almost significantly improved. All the more reason not to declare it dead after 24 hours, I guess. I say. Speaking of watches, Gear S officially coming to the U.S. I think we all kind of knew it. You can go see it in AT&T stores today if you want to go play with it. It's a really interesting watch. I don't know. I mean, we shouldn't turn our nose up at this stuff just because it's not Android Wear. Also because it's Samsung, and Samsung's, they're going to market the crap out of whatever they sell.
My issue isn't that it's not Android Wear. It's that it's kind of gigantic and
yes, it's big. Goofy, almost miniature Samsung phone on your wrist, right? It looks like a phone, which, I mean, is what they're going for, right? They're going for a device that mimics and replaces some smartphone functionality, but I don't know.
Do we know how the carriers are positioning this? Is it going to be a $10 add-on to your plan kind of situation like a tablet is?
I would imagine so.
I should walk down to the AT&T store today and ask them.
You should.
I think it's one of those situations where someone should be trying to figure out exactly how far you can get using just the watch.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is.
One awkward phone call.
Yeah. You go as far as you're willing to. And so there's that. I just lost whatever. Oh, there it is. I lost my screen. Here's my screen. What else is going on? Droid Turbo showed up in another picture. Did we talk about that? We talked about that.
We talked about the specs and the thing.
Pocket Cast web player in beta. It's pretty awesome. If you haven't seen it, go see it. We got a post up. We got links in there.
This might be a stupid question, but does the web player have a Chromecast button?
It does not yet.
Oh.
Now, that doesn't mean it won't. I've been using it in alpha for a few weeks, so let me just make sure. And I don't know if I have it still missing some
playlist stuff and stuff like that. So but, you know, it's
very much still in beta, so I'm not, you know, freaking out over anything yet. It'll be $9 once the trial's up. So I saw a lot of griping in the comments about the price, but I also saw a lot of people who said, you know what, that's fine.
It's okay. I mean, I would have paid more than $9 for the Android app.
Yeah.
And, you know, the web app that plugs into the same backend services they have to run isn't any cheaper to make.
I think very soon we are going to have a very long conversation about the price of software.
Yep.
I think that conversation has been coming for way too long, and it needs to happen soon.
And it comes up to me a lot using Chromebooks and Chromeboxes, too, because the state of the Chrome Web Store is kind of... I guess, and you know, I would love to see a lot of these $9-$10 apps like Pocket Cast to show up in the Chrome Web Store as a Chrome app that actually gives you some functionality instead of banging your head against the wall with, you know, cheaply made free Chrome apps on Chromebooks.
It's pretty simple. Make a good app and I will pay for it.
And putting an Android web runtime on Chrome OS is not the way to fix that problem.
Yeah, I'm really not crazy about all this hackery that's, you know, put any Android app on Chrome OS by effectively decompiling and
spoofing certificates.
Yeah, not crazy about that. When it happens, you know, officially fine. You know,
it's going to be a big deal when it does happen. It's going to give Google effectively a ready-made app ecosystem, you know, native apps on Chrome OS, which is something that you don't necessarily, you kind of have now with web apps, but not really. And it's going to plug a lot of the functionality gaps on Chromebooks, I think.
I think, to be completely fair, I feel very much about it like I feel about Android apps on BlackBerry. I have no problem with that. Don't take my app and go put it in somebody else's store without, you know, I need to be the one doing it. I need to be the one that's saying, okay, you can use this app on this platform. I'm fine with that.
And rest assured, as soon as Google has an elegant way to stop this from happening, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Because it's not getting off to a great start, you know, with this happening. When they're just trying to roll it out in kind of a preview state with four apps, they don't want it opened up to hundreds of thousands.
Just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean you should. Hey, you know what I want to do before I forget? I want to actually read some emails and not just like, oh, hey, crap, we have emails to read. Christopher wrote, with the Google Now Launcher, Google Keyboard, and various other Google apps on Android market, is a stock Android, and he puts it in quotes, good man, is a stock Android experience worth the money on the Moto X second gen? Or can you just put these things on any other phone and you'll be perfectly happy with it?
I install the Google Now Launcher and the Google Keyboard just because those are the two things I interact with most, and it's the, you know, the least jarring experience if I install them. But if you see value, you know, you're talking about spending money on the stock experience as buying a new phone with it. If you see value in it, then it's going to be worth buying a new phone. How much it's worth to you is a different question, but I don't think you can completely replicate it just by installing a launcher and a keyboard.
Yeah, and stock Android and what you get on Nexus is about more than just the stock Google apps as well. It's about the performance. It's about the actual design of the stuff that you can't skin. That's going to be a bigger deal than ever when L lands and you have all the material design stuff going on.
Yeah, weird things like settings and especially on HTC phones, battery management. Those are things that you can't replace. And HTC's battery management, I get that it's like this trivial thing that most people aren't really going to, but that has always been my least
favorite. Nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Looking at that.
All right. You're going to love this one. This is from DWR31. Says, I've been married to my wife for 14 years. Congrats. And I'm totally baffled at how to lovingly and politely tell her that I'm not the person she should be talking to about tech. After replacing 3 Galaxy Note 2s and 2 Galaxy Note 3s due to the lack of respecting temperature, shady individuals, or drops, I'm at the point of just going and hiding in Android Central's comments section when she asks me about tech. She always tells me these are just phones, which is blasphemy. advice, please. Man, I feel you. And I'm not going to say I pushed my wife toward iOS for that very reason. And there are times that she asks questions, and honestly, I just don't know the answer because I don't use iOS. And
plausible deniability.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's your option.
Maybe. I've done the same.
Ah, see? See?
Yeah, I think I got out easy because my wife and I just don't touch each other's electronics. Like, I have my phone and my laptop. She has her phone and her laptop, and we just don't, you know, we figure it out. Whatever our problems are, we figure it out ourselves. There's very little crossover there. So I have zero advice there because I wouldn't even know what to do in that situation.
For the life of me, I still have absolutely no idea, like, how to sync an iPhone to iTunes or something. And it's like, I don't know what it's doing, and it's very confusing.
You
and
should have seen me trying to turn on Wi-Fi calling on the iPhone 5S the other day. It was... It's like seven menus deep in the settings. It's impossible to find.
So maybe that's your answer, man. Maybe just, hey, have an iPhone. Have a Windows phone. Windows phone's really good now. Try that.
Sounds like iPhone and AppleCare Plus. You go to the Apple Store.
Although there's a good chance that if you are using the phrase, this is blasphemy, in reference to a comment about phones, chances are your opinion of iOS isn't particularly high anyway. That's true.
And David asked, why do you play late night hotel making love music at the end of your podcast? I really don't like the image of phone nerds and saxophone with CD synths and slow beat together.
It's a good jam.
Remember last week when somebody complained about us talking about things other than Android at the beginning of the podcast? You remember what my answer was then? I'm just going to do it more now.
Hooray!
We're just going to have a really low dub of the song through the whole podcast. That'd be awesome.
Audio-only versions just going to be just that all the way through.
I'm pretty good at looping it.
You could do like some special ringtones, and you can make like a whole kit out of this.
Honestly, that was the hardest part of starting this podcast, was finding the music. I spent a long time trying to find that, so I'm not changing it anytime soon. Let's do some more Q&A, then we'll get the hell out of here. Starting from the top, Jason says, is October 31st the release of Android L?
Sure, nope. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a date.
It's the right time frame, put it that way. I don't know. The Rock says, could you see Google releasing two versions of the Nexus 6 this year, similar to what Apple did with the iPhone 6?
I think that's reaching.
Yeah, I would like it if they did, but I don't think they will.
That's the people that scream no at the top of their lungs for 15 minutes. Yes.
AMOLED or LCD on the 5.9-inch Nexus, do we know? I don't remember leak specs, so I don't know.
Don't know.
Chris Taylor asks, does anyone have a code to HTC Elevate? If you didn't see it yesterday, Android Police did a post about super secret beta software testing within super secret private groups, which happens all the time. So I'm not sure what's new. HTC Elevate is this internal group. I don't even know that much what it is, but I do know they open up for new members every now and then. I know they have a Twitter account, so you should follow that and wait and see when they're...
Everyone that's on this podcast is not allowed in. They actively keep press out of HTC Elevate.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's no secret. I go to these other HTC things. But yeah, that's different than Elevate. And insofar as I'm concerned, completely insulated. So I really don't know much about what goes on in there. But I just do know that testing beta software internally with special groups like that is not really new. So
that's the definition of a beta test.
Yeah. So no, there is no like code to join. You have to be invited or apply or whatever. So yeah, I mean, the only suggestion I have is follow their Twitter account and see if they open up applications anymore. Petri says, I've listened to the regular podcast. Now I wonder, why have there been any doubts because of Phil's facial hair? Hairless face is just a plot from Gillette and Wilkinson. I don't know. I get bored, I think. My 4-year-old yells at me. Alex couldn't care less.
Stop the yelling.
You should see Alex right now. He's like, whoa, look at that over there on that side.
Alex is always clean shaven.
Alex is such a, he's such babyface. Actually, I meant to ask Alex, and we're going to put the camera back on him now. How about that? So when you were riding back from London, were you on the back of a motorcycle with goggles or something? Or
No.
You got kind of raccoon face going on.
That's weird.
It's the first time I met. No, it wasn't the first time I met Alex, but it was the first time he came to the States when I met him. I think he showed up in San Francisco like a day before the rest of us, and the poor guy got so sunburned for like his 12 hours unsupervised.
I remember that.
It was horrible. Poor guy. Oh, where was one? Edward wants to know, Android Auto, when will we start seeing it? That is a good question.
I keep bugging people who do things with cars, because I know a couple of people who do things with cars, and so far, I don't even think all of them know.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I'm honestly thinking we're not going to see it until early next year. I have nothing to back that up, but based on the kind of responses that I'm getting, it really sounds like we're going to see it early next year.
I was going to complain some about it just being yet another device hooked in my Google Play Music account that I can't deauthorize. Oh. But I don't want to get started.
You know, now there's an iPhone there on mine.
You know, because Phil, I see you driving a brand new car every 3-4 months. You're swapping them out, so that's really a big deal.
You know what I found out this week? I've actually been paying for Spotify all this time, too. And
wow.
So I'm kind of like, you know what? I'm just going to keep both and not worry about it. That's less stress on my brain that way, I think.
My thing is, I know I'm going to cancel it and lose my $7.99 a month price, and then I'm just going to come back to it, and it's going to cost me $9.99, and then I'll just never let myself let it down.
So someone was telling me on Twitter that if you cancel it and then re-sign within a certain period of time, you actually keep the lower rate. I haven't tested that yet.
It's within one billing cycle, and I haven't tested that.
I've seen somebody say that's good. Ilya says, do you guys think the introduction of a yearly Android version cycle instead of several versions a year means better and longer support for existing and future flagships from the manufacturers? I think that's kind of up to the manufacturers a little bit. I mean, it was 2-3 years ago when Google flat out said, look, we're going to switch to a more yearly thing. I really think the big changes have come in like the past year or so, and especially with what Motorola and to a lesser extent, but no less meaningful, HTC. Samsung still has work to do, but I get that Samsung's got a lot of phones. LG still has a lot of work to do. And how's Sony doing on that front?
They're getting better. Outside of the flagships, they still take their time. But from the Z on, for the original Xperia Z onwards, they've been reasonably good. I mean, there's a wait, but it's relatively predictable now that, okay, sometime early in the new year, after a new version of Android comes out the previous year, the Sony flagships tend to get updated pretty quickly.
And look, I mean, after what happened this week with the iOS 8.0.1 release and these, you know, showstopper bugs that killed your, you know, was it phone or data connection? I forget which.
Both. Data connection and Touch ID.
Yeah, not good. I've always loved how Apple's able to push it all out at once. That's a really big deal. It's also dangerous as hell. There's a reason Google does the troll outs, right? Where things are staggered, whether it's firmware updates or whether it's app updates. I get why they do that. I might, you know, gripe about it because I hate waiting like everybody else. But from an IT level standpoint, absolutely makes sense. That's why we started doing the beta testing within even just our own little app, right? It's just best practices to do. And it bit them this time. And it, you know what? It'll happen again.
Somebody's having a really bad week over there.
Sure. And, you know, there was a decent piece on iMore this, I guess today, about that. You know, these are humans writing code. Mistakes will happen. Bugs will happen. And test all you want. Things are, you know, they will happen. I get that. But that's all the more reason for me to say, all right, I'll deal with the troll out. I will be patient. I will let things stagger. You know, and that's why when new Google Play services updates come out through Google, you know, the ones you can actually update through Google Play and sideload if you want, that's why I don't do it, especially for that one. There was somebody in, I forget if it was our forums or on Google Plus, who said, hey, yeah, I got the new Google Play services, and it's just not, you know, something's broken and blah, 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 blah. And guess what? They sideloaded it. So either there was something wrong with it, or it was, you know, a bad version for their phone or whatever. It's just, patience is hard. I get it. But sometimes it's better. End of soapbox. Sorry. Not sorry. It's important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go down to the bottom, see what we can see. What's down on the bottom of the list? No. No. Maybe. No. Somebody says, really, Phil? I wonder what they mean by that. It was probably me yelling, wasn't it? Video is stuck on Russell. 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 They all just came in late. Anything else? Anybody see anything? Yes? No?
There's a lot of stuff in here. Everything that I'm seeing, we've talked about at least directly or tangentially.
I do want to talk about a phone that I got this week that I just kind of forgot about among the other phones that I got this week. So this is Micromax's Android One phone that is on sale in India.
That's happening too.
Yeah, that is happening. And it's kind of ridiculously good for the money. It's a $100 phone. So it's about £67 equivalent in UK money. And it's ridiculously fast for what it is. It's running a MediaTek CPU, so basically four A7 chips. So it's right up there with the Moto G in terms of horsepower, and it's fast. The hardware is decent feeling. The design is pretty good. The screen is plasticky, and the colors aren't so hot, but the viewing angles are reasonably good. I mean, you would really struggle to get anything that's this good for this money. And there are compromises there. The camera's not great. You can't even take pictures on the camera without an SD card because there's so little storage, and actually it has SD card hooks. It is basically just stock Android, but it has special hooks, it seems, for this version. So you can move apps to the SD card like you used to be able to, and like you can on some phones now. And it takes photos in the Google Camera app, the same app that you would have on any other stock Android phone, but it just stores them on the SD card. So a few differences, but it's a really interesting phone. I'm going to get stuck into it in the next week or so.
Cool. I kind of want one. I got a Moto G. I'll live with that. I guess the Moto E is kind of our Android One E type phone, right?
Mm-hmm. Even pretty that much was still kind of deal. That was still like $115 or something like that. $120.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's going to do it. I think we're going to stick a fork in it. Haven't stuck a fork in anything in a while. So it's about time we do so. If you want, you can email us, podcast@androidcentral.com. Find us all on the Twitters and Google Plus. Just search our names. I think we all use it. Get us on Instagram as well. We are still keeping up with that a little bit. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com, which eventually we will change back under our own name, but not this week. This week it is still shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158 if you prefer. And that's it. Alex, Russell, Andrew. Hopefully we'll have Jerry back next week. Everybody else, everybody at home, everybody watching live. Bye.
Goodbye. See you later.